So this past week, I had the privilege of going to a monastery, and we had a study week, and I had an opportunity to meet all the Czech Methodist pastors in the country, in the United Methodist Church here. And so it was great to see our superintendent in action, leading the pastors, and also it was a great opportunity to meet many of the pastors, and I just felt very welcomed, and though I stumbled through trying to understand at times with Czech, there was a lot of forgiveness and kindness to me, and it was a lovely, lovely week, and lots of learning as well, hopefully sharpening our skills as pastors. And so that was a great week, and I share that to say that I just felt a privilege to be in this country and to work within our United Methodist Church connection. I know many of us here are from Methodist backgrounds, and many are not, and that's fine, and that's lovely. But I just simply want you to know that Superintendent Ivana is kind of our supervising pastor, if you will, elder for this church and for several churches in the whole country, and we have some great connections. And one of the things that I really appreciated learning this last week was about what our district, what our joint churches all together are doing to help with refugees, with the situation with Ukraine and Russia. And there's quite a lot being done and has been done, and I received some newsletters about what's being done. So if you have interest to learn more about what our United Methodist Connection is doing, let me know, give me your email address, and I will pass those on, because I was quite encouraged. And we also have a Russian-speaking pastor, a Russian pastor, serving a United Methodist Church in our midst, and he's working with Ukrainians as well and with refugees. And I believe, Valera and Maud, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you are also helping with this local church, this Russian and Ukrainian church. And so it was just good to hear kind of what, as a group, we are doing together, right? You can do more together. So I just share that to say I was blessed to hear more about what we in the Czech Republic as Methodists are doing to care for others. So if you want to know more, let me know and I'll pass on some information. Today's scripture that we had read, wasn't that beautiful? We had it read in four languages, Revelation 7:9. We had, I don't know if I'll say it right, Malayalam from South India, a dialect in South India. We had Czech, right, which was lovely. We had Russian, and we had English. And how beautiful to hear the words of scriptures in so many different languages. And I hope you can see, as you were hearing the scripture read today, kind of why we're lifting that up. Because today there's this this image that we're given in Scripture. We're given this beautiful image of the throne. So in the book of Revelation, it talks a lot about last things or things to come. And John was inspired by God with visions and dreams, and he tried to write down the pictures that he saw, that were revealed to him. And so here in this passage, there's this wonderful picture of the throne room of God. And at the center of the throne, it says, is the Lamb. And the Lamb here, spoiler alert, is Jesus. And if you read in the Old Testament, you can read about lambs. And the whole Old Testament sacrificial system would have a lamb that would be slain as a way to repent and get cleansing, forgiveness, or salvation. And that was the whole framework through which, when Jesus arrived as a person of Hebrew descent. That was the whole system, the sacrificial system. And so as Jesus arrived on the scene, John the Baptist, the prophet before Jesus, said of Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And so then you fast forward into Revelation, where at this point, Jesus has been crucified, has died, has been buried, has been raised, has ascended, has returned to heaven, been glorified. And here in the book of Revelation, we read about Christ's return, Christ's second coming. And in Revelation, there's a lot of picturesque language that refers to Jesus as a lamb, as the lamb that was slain. And Revelation also refers to Jesus as the lion. And so you have these kind of joint imagery in Revelation of Jesus being the lion and the lamb, the pure one, the innocent one, the slain one, and also the one who returns with power to come and set things right. And so here is this beautiful picture of the throne, meaning a place of power, a place of rule, a kingly place, right? And this passage talks about who's at the throne, who's gathered. And I love this image of how we read that there is a big crowd. I don't know if you've ever been to a big concert. Maybe you've been to a big concert, big rock concert, I don't know. Big football game, you know, a big crowd. I think a great multitude would be bigger than that. A great multitude. I'm not super good at math, but that's big. That's a lot of people. It's more than three, pretty sure. Thank you for that. So at the throne is this big crowd. And then it says, the nature of who's there. Did you catch that? The nature of who's there at the end of time, or as we're entering more fully into eternity. There are people there from every nation, tribe, peoples, and languages. Now, that word nation, I'm pretty sure the writer of this book did not mean the current geopolitical boundaries of a nation, right? We're not talking here about what is the current boundaries of the Czech Republic and of Germany and of you pick a country. That's not what it means. What it means, if you look into the Greek, it has to do with ethnos is the Greek, and it has to do with a people group. A people group. And a lot of times you can distinguish a people group by a common language and a common culture. So, for example, when I lived and served in Ghana in West Africa, one nation by the boundaries, by the current geopolitical boundaries, but it had, what was it, 57 different people groups, different distinct cultures and languages, and we would travel to each people group, and the food would be different, the dancing would be a different rhythm, the cultural greetings and ways you relate to each other would be distinct. And I know many of you know this, right? If we were to go to India, how many languages and people groups would we encounter? And if we went so many places in the world, there are lots and lots of people groups. And so what I want us to see in this scripture is that God is highlighting for us that God loves all people groups. And notice that it says there will be people from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. And so it was no coincidence we were reading the scriptures and hearing different languages. I'm so thankful to the Czech Methodist Church for having a vision to plant an international church in Prague. I don't know all the reasoning of what they were thinking, but I'm pretty confident from listening about when it was planted. It was about 10 years ago now. There was a conviction or a vision that there are many people in Prague that are from other nations, other people groups, and maybe don't feel comfortable worshiping in Czech. And so wouldn't it be great if an international church was planted that was in another language, that could serve people who feel more comfortable in another language? And so the English United Methodist Church was planted, was started. And I want to share that it's English, but I don't think that that means that English is the better language, or that that's what that means. I think English happens to be, in these generations of time, a very good language to connect with a lot of people in the world. English is often used in many parts of the world these days. It may be down the road, it's other languages in the world. But so I think that I want to just share that when I look at the scriptural reason for why an international church, I see this kind of emphasis on love people. Love people who are different than you. And I personally think that an international church gives us a glimpse into this heavenly vision. E. Stanley Jones, who's a famous missionary from India, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but E. Stanley Jones said, all people who love Jesus ought to love people who love Jesus. Meaning, in Christ, no matter what language they're from, no matter what skin color they are, no matter what background or culture or tribe they come from, if they are in Christ, there is a connection. There is a connection. And so for me, what that means and what this scripture means is that there is a call to welcome all people, to love all people, and to approach people who are different than me with respect and mutual learning. Respect and mutual learning. And so I'll just say my bias up front, right? We all have biases. My bias is I love international churches. And one of the reasons why I love international churches is it gives me an opportunity to learn from and worship with people who are different than me. And so I hope you'll join me in that kind of attitude of exploration, that we can begin now what is going to be our future. This is our future, this Revelation passage that talks about at the end, around the throne, around Jesus the Lamb, there will be people with all languages, people from all nations, and that will be a glorious sight. And we have an opportunity in this international church to begin to lean in and experience what it's like to worship and to love God and one another because of Christ. And so I hope that that encourages you today. That encourages me. It also shapes how I want to approach other people. And so I'm going to freely say I'm happy if more Americans come who speak English. I'm American. That's my background. But I hope it's not just an American church. I hope that there are beautiful people from the nations that continue to come, and that as we grow this church together, it truly is an international church. And we can begin to feel when we're in worship here together that we have a glimpse, a small vision into what is to come when we are all together. I think it'd be really cool when we get around the throne if I can suddenly understand all languages. Wouldn't that be cool? Or maybe we'll need an eternity to learn Czech and all languages. I don't know. That was a joke. I look forward to that day of our future around the throne with people from all over the world. And I hope that in our community life together, we can lean into that future together.